In Romans chapter number 15, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'll give you just a moment there to find your place and everything. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Well, that's a tall order and a tough one. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor, for he is good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. I've been saved 27 and a half years, and I still can't hardly get a hold of that statement right there. Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. What about that? Christ did not please himself, and what was deserving to someone else, he took it. Others. The definition for spiritual success is others. Jesus did not live to please himself, but rather lived and even died and was buried and rose again, all for others. Not for himself, but for others. Not for himself, but for others. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me, on who are you pleasing? Who are you pleasing? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house with your people. And I know, Lord, we've made statements that you put in my heart concerning the difficult times that's ahead. But Lord, I'm not discouraged this morning. My home is not here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through as a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm on my way to the big house where the big family will have a big time forever. Lord, I'm not discouraged. Lord, no matter what happens in Washington, we ought to pray about it. We're instructed in the Bible to pray about that and pray for those people in authority. But Lord, whatever happens, it's not going to zap me of my spiritual life or joy. Because my joy and my spiritual life is not hooked up with Washington or the White House. But it's hooked up with the Father's house on high. And I'm glad that you, Lord, are alive and well today. Seated upon the throne of sovereignty. And you're not the least bit worried today. You've got a plan and it's in motion. And it will come to pass. I'm just glad to be a part of the big plan of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for including us. Including us in your future. Including us in your plans. And I'm glad we have your faithful promises that we can read and draw strength from and stand on. That lets us know that our God is able. Lord, I thank you for that. Have your way, Lord. I pray you use the message today. Speak to us and challenge us. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of emphasis in the Word of God in the verses we read about pleasing somebody. Pleasing somebody. Verse 1 says we're not to please ourselves. And there's enough in that one statement right there to preach for about 10 years. Not to please ourselves. And then it says in verse number 2 that we should please our neighbor. And then gave the classic example of Christ who pleased not himself. So, living a life of not pleasing yourself is actually living a Christian life, living a Christ-like life. Because the Bible said that even Christ pleased not himself. Who are you pleasing? You're pleasing somebody. If you were to lay out all of your motives this morning, if you were to lay out all of your plans, If you were to lay out all of your intentions, all of that, all of your wants, lay it out there, categorize it. You know what would be at the top? That underneath all that I mentioned would come underneath it? Pleasing somebody. Whether we're pleasing self, whether we're pleasing others, or whether we're pleasing God. Everybody here today is pleasing somebody. The thing is, who? That's why I want to preach on who are you pleasing? Now, as we look in this passage, and we're going to be looking at other verses and just trying to be obedient to the Lord, what He'd have us to preach, what He'd have us to say here this morning. But whoever you're trying to please will be what controls you. You and I, humanly, are made up in our makeup. We're made to like pleasure and to be pleased. We like it. Satisfied. Everybody lives for that. The world seems to project that they've got the answer to live for sin and live for the pleasures of sin and to live for self and to live for silver and gold and live for success. All of those things would be what you need to live for. And sad to say, most young people, even in our churches, have that as their goal. Where'd they get that? They didn't get that from the Bible. They got that from Hollywood. They got that from video and audio that's piped in from the world. The American dream. The American dream. But I wanted you to know the American dream may be just in a few days going to turn to an American nightmare. Who are you pleasing? Because whoever you're trying to please is what's controlling your life. First of all, of course, you've heard the statement about joy, how to have Christian joy. His J-O-Y, Jesus first, O stands for others second, and Y stands for yourself last. If you'll put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last, you'll have joy. How many people does that? How many people does that? We don't put Jesus first. A lot of people don't. Definitely a lot of people don't put others second. And I don't know too many people that puts theirself last. And that's why we've got a world today, especially a country today, that knows nothing about joy. Knows nothing about real inner joy. The first one I want to ask today, who are you pleasing? I want to ask number one, in verse number one, are you pleasing self? Now I won't be able to preach this as heavy as that is in my heart. I can't explain how big that is in my heart right now. Every time in the last 27 and a half years since I've been saved, Brother Chuck, that there has been spiritual decline, that there has been spiritual deadness, that there has been spiritual defeat in my life, I've looked every time and noticed that the root cause was something I did to please self. The self-pleasing life is not a spiritual life. The self-pleasing life is not produced by the Holy Spirit. It is not controlled by the new nature that God gives you when you're saved, but rather is controlled by that old fallen Adamic nature that loves itself. And by the way, let me just say, you don't have to make much of an effort to please yourself. It's in you. It's in your nature. It came with a package. When you was born into this world, you was born with a desire and a determination. I'm going to get what I want and I'm going to please myself. Listen to these little newborns. Listen to them. I mean just hours old. Some of them not even hours old. And they're already pitching a fit. Not been to school to learn how to pitch a fit. Nobody's taught them how to pitch a fit. They've never even seen nobody else pitch a fit. But they sure know how to pitch a fit. Come on, mamas and daddies. Do they not know how to pitch a fit? And they don't care if it's 3 a.m. They don't care if you got to get up and go to work. They don't care. They want all the attention. They want all of your attention. And they want you to wrap your life and plans around their little wants. And we've all seen young people grow up, little toddlers, that didn't get what they want, and watch how they act. Have you ever heard them in Walmart? Oh, I was in Walmart the other day, and I didn't even want to go looking for that voice. It was drowning out everything and everybody, and it was coming completely across the store, and it wasn't just for a few seconds. The whole time I was in there, it was, "Wah! Ah!" I mean, you'd have thought that youngin was dying. And it was all because it didn't get what it wanted. And the mama thought the way to deal with this brat is to ignore it. If I ignore it long enough, it will shut up after a while. It don't matter if it's getting on everybody else's nerves in Walmart, and they're threatening to call the law and everything else. It don't matter. I've seen them. I actually did. They come close enough. I actually seen them go from one aisle to the other. Well, that youngin was a pitching a hissy. If you're married, you know what a hissy is. Pitching a hissy, and that mama was just pushing that buggy, just, you know, just stop and pull items off the shelf and just read it. And I thought, my soul, she needs to go down the round through the switch department, amen. But all it was that inbred, fallen, sin-drove nature of that baby saying, I don't care what you want, I want what I want, and you better cater to my needs. But guess what? That don't grow out of them in adolescence. There's plenty of adults, including myself, that times I still am controlled and influenced by that I want what I want. We're going to have a good time, I can tell. But pleasing self. The Bible said in verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Why did he put that last statement on that verse? Because he said if that last statement on that verse is not there, then you will not be doing what that verse says. Because to do a lot of the will of God, if not all of the will of God, is going to require self-denial. Not self-pleasure, not pleasing self, get what I want, do what I want, no matter what everybody else wants, amen? That's right. You remember growing up and you met with some of the kids in the neighborhood, some maybe even your own family, and you're going to play ball? And they wanted to make the rules? And they wanted to use their bat? And they wanted to use their ball, and they wanted to do it their way? And then when you would say, look, that's not the rules. This is the rules of the game. And this is the way we're going to play. They get their ball, throw it over their shoulder, or their bat, get the ball, and say, well, I'm going home. Yeah. Amen. It's sad to say that hid out down into the cracks and crevices of all of us adults is still there somewhere if we're not careful. It'll seep out. Don't please yourself. Amen. You know what the Bible says about Ephesians? And by the way, that's a difficult thing. Not pleasing yourself is a difficult, in fact, it's almost impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's really a love issue. Are you listening? It's really a love issue. The reason you want to please yourself is because you love yourself. And I just thought I'd tell you, Ephesians chapter number 5 tells us in verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. No man's ever hated, but yet it nourisheth it and cherisheth it. Now I know the context and what he's doing there, but still the principle is revealed that no man's ever hated his flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. You love yourself, that's why you want to please yourself. Whoever you're trying to please is the one you love. Whether it's self, whether it's others, or whether it's God. Amen. You won't try to please God. It won't even be an interest if you don't love Him. It'll not even be a desire if you don't love Him. Amen. And loving God is not natural. Loving self is natural. Loving self is what you was born with. Loving God requires you to be born again. Your natural birth and life and nature will never love God. It's in rebellion against God. The fallen human nature is in rebellion against God. That's the way it's been since Adam and Eve in the garden, even to the present day. Man is naturally a rebel against God. If you love God, you've got to get saved. I've had lost people tell me out on visitation that don't go to church, don't read their Bible, living in sin, that they love Jesus. You know, and you try to be soft-spoken, you try to be easy with them. You know, and I've even quoted twice, you know, before they closed the door. You know, trying to handle them easy. John 14 and verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, love talk is cheap. Anybody can say it. Anybody can say it. Amen. You young girls, you better watch all these little boys hunting around and say they love you. They wouldn't know love if they seen it standing in the street. Amen. They don't know nothing about love. In fact, let me just tell you, if they don't know God intimately, they don't know nothing about God, about love. Because 1 John 4:8, God is love. You don't know how to love until you get born again. And God puts the Spirit of God in you, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. First one mentioned was love. Well, let me get on that, but pleasing ourselves. Churches are in the shape they're in because of self-pleasing people. Amen. Homes are in the shape they're in because of self-pleasing mates. Children are in the shape they're in because of a self-pleasing love and nature in them. I believe this. I've jotted this down. I don't want to ever forget it. What's laying at the root, what's laying at the foundation of all rebellious young people is self-pleasing. What lying at the root of all broken homes is self-pleasing. Somebody wanted to please themselves at the expense of their marriage. Amen. I asked one time, fella, I don't remember if Brother Ivan was with me or who it was. We was visiting one time, and I'm not going to mention the name, but he's known as he's just an alcoholic, just full-blown alcoholic all of his life. We went in there one day, and we'd been in there several times. We went in his house there, and he's sitting there in the kitchen, and sitting there in that chair, just an old regular old chair, and it sat there in that one spot so long that the chair legs had actually wore holes that big, plumb through the linoleum and on plumb on into the subfloor. And on the wall, he's facing the wall, had his feet up on the wall, and sat there and drank. And his feet had been on the wall so much that he'd wore a hole plumb through the paneling. We was in there one day, and I asked him, I called his name, I said, "Who's these pictures right here?" Oh, he said, "That's my wife. And these are my children, and that's my grandchildren." And I said, "Well, why are they not with you? Why is the wife not with you?" Of course, I knew the answer. I just wanted him to tell me. It was the drinking. It was the alcohol. It was that. He lived for it. He lived for it, not for his wife. His wife didn't matter. And I said, "You mean to tell me that if you weren't drinking and you weren't an alcoholic, your wife would be here?" "That's right." And I reached in his hand and I got that can out and I pulled it up out of his hand. I said, "You mean to tell me that you traded your wife, your children, your family for what's in that little aluminum can?" And he said, "Yes." Friend, don't underestimate how strong a grip that self-pleasing life, if it ever gets a hold of you, you'll do things you never thought you'd do. You'll hurt people you never thought you would hurt. There's parents today that are brokenhearted over rebellious children. My friend, that left home and ran away and whatever, lived in sin, all because the young person wanted to please themselves when pleasing self went contrary to what the parents knew to be best. Amen. Self-pleasing. It lies at the root and foundation of all rebellious young people. Lies at the root of all broken homes. It lies at the root of all sinful life. Everybody that's in a sinful life is in it because they like what it's doing to themselves. Don't underestimate the power and strength of sin. There's people today, in fact, that example I just gave you, that man will die if God don't perform a miracle on that man. That man will die an alcoholic, living his whole life for that, and will die that way. Even though he knows it's killed him. People today, Brother Williams, people today are giving themselves to things they know is killing them, but they keep doing it because of the pleasure and self-pleasing that comes from it. It don't matter what advertisements comes out, what billboards, what facts comes out about crack cocaine and all these other different drugs, they're going to do it anyway. Why? That's stupid. Living a sinful life is stupid. Why do what you know is going to kill you? Because the devil puts just a little measure of pleasure in there and you get addicted to it. And then you fall prey to it and you live for it. Ruin your life? Yes. Destroy you? Yes. But you keep going in that direction. Are you listening? I hope we're getting this. It's a love issue. It is a love issue. Boy, I see that going in 14 different directions in our home with marriages and husband and wives. Amen. Parents and children. But don't you listen to this right here. What's the self-pleasing life is really a sinful life. And get this right here in Ephesians chapter 2. It's not really you're pleasing yourself. You're actually pleasing Satan. Now I know that's stout. I know that's strong. But I'm going to show it to you. A self-pleasing life. Here's what the Bible says in verse 2 of Ephesians, the second chapter. He's talking to people that are now saved. In verse 1 he said, "You and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin." He's talking about you now that you've been made alive. You're saved. You've got life. He said, verse 2, "Wherein in times past." He said, let's pull up the calendar. Let's look back into your past life, your pre-conversion life. Let's look back there. Here he says, "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world." You weren't trying to please yourself as much as you were pleasing the world. You were trying to satisfy the world's demands on your life. Not only walked according to the course of the world, but according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Any person that lives, they think, to please themselves, ignore God's word, walk in open disobedience to God's word, living to please themselves, really you're not pleasing yourself. You're being controlled by another force. You're being controlled by the prince and power of the air. The God of this world, the little G-O-D of this world is in charge of your life. So you're not living to please yourself. You're living to please Him. If we could get God's people to live to please God as much as the world is living to please the devil, we would have revival. Amen? Pleasing self. Amen? Look in Romans chapter 15 right quick. Look at it back there right quickly. I want to try to get another one in if I can. But look at chapter 15. Not pleasing self. Living a life of not pleasing self. Here's the three thoughts in chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse number 1, the living a not pleasing yourself life first is a characteristic of the strong. He said, but when we then that are strong, you know what a sign of weakness is? You know what a sign of weakness is? A sign of weakness is that you're living for yourself. that you're not going to listen to a preacher. You're not going to listen to parents. You're not going to listen to nobody. You're going to do your own thing. Your goal is to fit in. Your goal is to be accepted. That is a sign of weakness. A sign of strength is a person who does not live to please themselves. Not only is it a characteristic of the strong, but number two, it is a care for the struggling. Those that are weak, the infirmities of the weak needs to be, they need assistance, they need help, they need somebody that will step in and care. But a self-pleasing person will never step in. They'll step on. They'll not step in to help, they'll step on to hurt. You know, we're living in a dog-eat-dog world, and a lot of people will step on you to get higher. Characteristic of the strong, care for the struggling, and then there's a conformity to the Savior. If we live a life that's not a self-pleasing life, then verse 3 lets us know that we're following a chief example, Christ, who pleased not Himself. Now, I know none of you are interested in this. I'm not even interested in it. I'm talking about my flesh. My flesh is not interested in what I'm preaching. My flesh don't like to say, you're not going to be number one, big boy. Huh? The flesh don't like to be denied. It likes to dominate. Amen. Pleasing self. Let's move on to a second one. Just for a few minutes tonight, or this morning. Pleasing others. Who are you pleasing? Now I know that in our text of Romans 15, it shows that there is a positive in pleasing others. In other words, it's something that we ought to do, as revealed here. Verse number 1 says we're not to please ourselves. Verse number 2 says let it every one of us please his neighbor. And then he gave the example of Christ who pleased not himself, but took on him all that was supposed to have been on you. He did not please himself. He pleased others. I'm pleased today because of Christ not pleasing himself. I'm pleased. Don't go out here and say, well, that preacher, he's bored, he's discouraged, he's depressed. No, I'm pleased. I'm pleased. Not when I'm living for myself. I'm not pleased with that. I'm not pleased with that. But when I live to please Him, then I'm pleased. He pleases me when I'm trying to please Him. That's a good way you can know if you're pleasing Him, is He pleasing you? Amen. All right, pleasing others. But anyway, there's a positive. There is that we should do. And I begin to think about that. That if we're just taking it at face value and say, well, you know, preacher, we're supposed to live to please others, that could lead you into wrongdoing if you're not careful. Well, the boys at work wants me to lay out a church Sunday and go on a big fishing expedition. You know, and I want to please them, preacher. Yeah, right. Huh? You know, we're going to go on, some of the folks down, you know, hey, we're wanting to go on a big vacation, you know, and we're going to go out in Las Vegas, you know, and they're going to be doing Lord only knows what, but I'm going to go because I want to please them, you know. I know that's far-fetched, but may not be too far. But I thought about what's the limits? Well, it sets it out here. It makes it very clear here. You do not please others at the expense of your strength. Verse number 1 shows that. I'm to please others as long as it does not start depleting me from the status of being strong. I can be a friend to someone until they start influencing me and pulling me down, pulling me away from spiritual things, pulling me away from being strong in the Lord. It's a matter of who's influencing who. I never have preached isolation. The Bible don't teach that. But now the Bible does teach separation. God wants you to be an influence to other people. God wants you to let your light shine around those that are in darkness, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God wants that. You say, but preacher, where do I draw the line? When you see them starting to influence you. That's when you start drawing the line and say, hey, I can't go with you to this place and I can't do this here because it's causing me to experience spiritual temptation and weakness in my life. And I value my testimony. I value my fellowship with God. I value my relationship with my church. And I'm not going there and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay strong. Stay, please the Lord. I mean, please others as long as it you can stay strong. Stay strong. Now watch this right here. Verse number 2, it shows us very clearly that we're to please others as long where we draw the lines, where we keep, you know, where we stop building them up. The Bible says here that we're to please our neighbor for his good. For his good. Ask yourself, is my influence in this person's life, am I being used for good? To his edification. That is, to building him up in the faith. Not building him up in sin, making him feel like he's the king of the block, but I mean building him up in the faith. Edifying him. Amen? Pleasing him to his good. Am I of any good to that person, to my friend? Amen. I think it's a bad testimony if you can be a friend with a lost person for long periods of time and never influence them for Jesus. So, where do you draw the line when you start seeing there's no good coming out of it? Instead of you influencing them for good, they're influencing you for bad. Draw the line. But here, verse number 3 shows us another one. I want to get on the negative instead of the positive, but right here, here's another one. We're to please others as long as we are being Christ-like. Verse 3. Even Christ pleased not Himself. If you have to be un-Christ-like in an effort to please somebody, it's wrong, wrong, wrong. Run from it. Well, but preacher, I love Him. I love her. Don't ever let love get in the leadership. You say, but preacher, it's got to be the will of God. I love them. Single people can get to that point. Amen. Don't trust your feelings. I know a young lady right now that's scheduled to be married here in just a month or two or whenever it is, sometime this year. Parents stood against it. Preacher stood against it. Scriptural authorities put in their life. Parent is a spiritual authority. Preacher is a spiritual authority. And they ignored both of them and said, well, it's the will of God. I love it. Are you listening? That's not the will of God. God's not going to lead you to bypass spiritual authorities in your life just simply because you love somebody. I know a lot of dope heads that love dope. But is that the will of God? I know people that loves alcohol. Are you listening? And you don't listen. You don't just love alcohol. That's the nicest stuff this side of the pits. Come on. I'm ashamed of my past. I wish I'd have never tasted it. I wish I'd have never tasted it. But I remember clearly my first experience of it, and I thought, "Yeah, how can anybody drink that?" They got to be drunk to drink it. Nastiest stuff ever was. And you'll fool around to be accepted and fit in. You'll acquire a taste. And before long, you've developed a love and an affection and an addiction. And before you know it, it's in control of your life. It's dominating your life. Even though you're losing everything, it's costing you more than you've got money to pay. But it don't matter because you're loving it. I want to say again, verse number 3, we are to please others as long as it does not take away from Christ-likeness. Boy, that right there will preach. I'm telling you it will. Never please others at the expense of scriptural and spiritual principles. Not no seer. Although these verses shows us there's a positive of pleasing others. There's a part of our life that ought to be. And I've dealt with that, basically. But there's also a negative of that, pleasing others, that you want to avoid. Peer pressure. living to please others, fitting in, being accepted, being one of the group, being one of the in crowd. No matter what you have to do to get in, no matter what you have to do to be recognized, no matter what you have to do to have their approval, you're willing to do it. You know why? Because you value their recognition. You value their opinion. Peer pressure is a strong driving force. I remember back when I was in high school and even before that, how strong of a drive that I had in me to be popular. I mean, it was strong. I governed everything I did around that thought right there. If they want me to do it, or if they dare me to do it, or if they're watching me do it, or if they're going to hear about me doing it. Pleasing others. Brother, I'll tell you, listen, for all ages here, young people all the way through adults, friend, if you ever get into that gear, it'll ruin you, it will destroy you, it will take you down. You cannot live your life to please other people. Because no matter how hard you try, you will never succeed. If you'll listen to this preacher this morning, it could very well spare you a lot of hardship and a lot of adversity. No matter how hard you try, you'll never please all people. I'm going to make a statement here. Living to please people is a life of bondage. You're always changing to fit in with whoever's going to be next in your communication and your life. Because what might please this one may displease that one. And so you're going to have to change. And then before long, you're going to forget what pleases who and who gets displeased with that. And you're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And before you know it, you're going to be displeasing those you once pleased. And then you're going to start pleasing those once you displeased. And your life is nothing but a life of bondage. If I governed my ministry on that right there, what pleases everybody, I would done been out of the ministry. I'd have done been out of the ministry. I can't do that. I can't sleep at night, for one thing, if I did that. I'm not going to do that. That's not my objective. I love you and I want to help you and I want to preach the truth to you and I want to be a good example and I want to do all of that. Amen. But for me to just start catering to this dislike and catering to that displeasure and catering to this and catering to that. And, well, preacher, I don't like what you're preaching. And this one over here says, oh, preacher, that's great preaching. This one over here says, preacher, you know what? I can't handle that. That's tough. And this one over here says, boy, I like it. Nail her tight, preacher. What am I going to do? I tell you what I'd do if I'd done that. Here's what I'd do. On Sunday morning, I'd get up, and before I ever open my Bible, let's see. All right, let's see. In other words, I'm checking to see who's here. Well, oh, they're here. I'll have turned another text. I might have to get over here in this one. Best thing to do for me is stay away from that bondage, not fall into that grip of pleasing others, my friend, and start just try to please the Lord, preach what God tells me to preach. Now, come on now. I'm going to get on me here just for a second. You know why that a lot of times when I preach that, and I get all down in the dumps after I preach and go home, you know, the blues and all that stuff? You know why? You know why I got that way? I was looking for approval. I was listening for approval. Brother Robert Taylor preached one morning at his church. Preached his heart out. And he is a whining. You know, he gets it after me, I guess. He is a whining and crying the blues. And Miss Kim said to him, honey, I want to ask you something. Did you preach what God told you to preach this morning? Well, yeah, I preached what God told me to preach. Well, I guess God failed then, didn't he? In other words, she was saying to him, if you preach what God told you to preach, leave, as you prayed earlier, leave the results to God. Amen. You told them what God wants you to tell them. You can't make them receive it. You can't make them eat the truth. You can't make them line up. Just preach the truth. Be faithful to that book. Be faithful to your calling. Be faithful to God. And my friend, let the chips go where they may. Amen. Amen. Do I like approval? Do I like somebody to say, "Preach, I enjoyed that. I needed that. That helped me." Yes, I like that. But I don't have to have that.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not telling you to quit. Amen. I'm not telling you to quit. Amen. It won't go to my head. I promise you. Because I know me. But listen, let me get deal with this pleasing others real quick. The negative aspect of it. And it's piles of Scripture that deals with it. Let me give you just a few of them. Galatians 1 and verse 10. Here's what Paul said. "For I do now persuade men or God. Or do I seek to please men?" Listen. "For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God." Did you hear that? Paul said, if I got into that pleasing man mentality, governing everything I preach, governing what I do, all under the heading of who's going to be pleased by this, am I going to please them, am I going to have their approval, Paul said, then if I do that, I am not the servant of Christ. That verse says, if you're pleasing man, you are not serving God. That's strong. You think that's strong? That's stout. Here's another verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 6. That verse, along with Colossians 3:22, both speaking to employees. Here's what it says. "Not with eye service," that is your work, your service, "is not to be with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." And then again, Colossians 3:22, "Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, nor as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God." My soul, I know that's in the context is dealing with employer-employee relationship, but what if that was our life? That we govern our life not as men pleasers, not as in eye service, but, my friend, as servants of God. What would that do for us? Not just on the job, but at church and in the community. Oh, mercy. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Paul said what governs what we say, preaching, is not what pleases man, but what pleases God. Let me give you this right here real quickly. About pleasing others. I want you to get some of these. I don't know if you'll get all of them or not, but I want you to get some of them. Number one, just write this down, or at least listen real close. You can get a tape. Listen to this. I jotted this down. Pleasing men makes you a servant of men. Listen to me. Boy, this is good. Every man that you are trying to please is a master over you. Every person, every peer that you're trying to please is a master over you, and you're living your life to serve and do what they're wanting you to do and what they're wanting to see. Pleasing man is a bondage, makes you a slave. But you know this? Man will condemn you if you're true to God. I've already said it. You cannot be a servant of Christ and a man pleaser at the same time. You cannot do that. Amen. A man pleaser cannot be true to God. Get that. How many's listening? Say amen.
Amen.
A man pleaser cannot be true to God. Why? He's got too many masters. And the Bible says no man can serve two masters. Isn't that good? I thought that was good. Amen. Amen. If you seek first to please God and are satisfied therein, then you don't have to worry about pleasing the multitudes because you won't please them. My friend, it makes sense, don't it? It's easier to please God than it is to please others because there's so many of them and they've got so many likes and dislikes. and it's an impossibility, wouldn't it be just make sense to just say, oh, we're going to please God. We're just going to please God. All right, here's something else I wrote down. Not only pleasing man makes you a servant of men, but also, here's another thing. Pleasing men will be a snare to you, will be a trap to you. Book of Proverbs doesn't say pleasing man. The book of Proverbs says fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And of course, there's probably a connection there between the fear of man and pleasing man. The reason you have a fear of man is you don't want to be rejected by man. You don't want man to turn against you and cull you and mock and make fun of you. So you govern your life based on what it takes to be accepted. So there is a connection there between the fear of man and pleasing man. But I tell you what it does. It'll bring a snare to your soul. It'll be a trap. Listen, pleasing man is a trap of the enemy. I hope you young people's hearing me. Pleasing, living to please that boyfriend, living to please that girlfriend is a snare put in your life to entrap you. Are you listening? It's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. And you're listen, you're going to have to be honest with yourself. I can't look at you and say, hey, you're trying to please everybody. If it got bad enough, I might could see that. But you need to be honest with yourself and admit to yourself, what the preacher's preaching, I'm guilty of. I'm wanting to please myself, and I'm wanting to please, or I'm wanting to please others in this negative way. All right, here's another one. Number three. Well, this is good. When you're living to please others, think of what a pitiful reward you're going to get. If you live to please others, think of what a pitiful reward you've got. In Matthew, I don't have time to have you turn there, but you can mark it down and write it, look at it later. But Matthew, I believe it's chapter 6 and verse 25. The Lord is talking to the hypocrites and the Pharisees, and Pharisees were man pleasers. A lot of times they were man, and the hypocrites, man pleasers. And he said they were doing what they were doing to be accepted of men. They were doing what they were doing to be seen of men. You know what Jesus said? When they see you, you've got your reward. Living to please man? Man, look what a pitiful, low-level reward you're going to get. Somebody pat you on the shoulder and say, I seen you do that. I'm talking about if you live and you did what you did for that purpose. That was your motive. You did what you did because you wanted to be seen. Or you wanted to be accepted. Or you wanted to be approved of. That's why people get mad when their name's not put in a bulletin. They pick up a piece of chewing gum wrapper every once in a while and they want their name put in a bulletin in size 36 font style. Bold letters. Yeah. That'd be your reward. But what good is that? When you could have had rewards in heaven, instead you got yours in a bulletin. Oh, mercy. Here's you another one. Ready? I'm talking about pleasing others. I've already dealt with this, really. If anything ought to cure you and me from living a others-pleasing life, it ought to be this, and that is the impossibility of pleasing them all. The impossibility of pleasing them all. You cannot do it. So why spend your life doing it or trying to do it? Amen? Amen. Because once you please somebody, think of how little it takes to disrupt that pleasure. I thought about that this morning. What if I did attain the level of pleasing somebody? Then all of a sudden I preach something they don't like. There it went. Or all of a sudden, maybe I looked at them the wrong way, and you know, they took offense thinking I was mad when I wasn't mad, maybe I didn't shake their hand. I mean, let's just go real big here. I had a thousand things on my mind as a preacher, you know, in the service, and I walked right by them and didn't see their hand, didn't, you know. There went the pleasure. I ain't pleasing them no more. They mad. They gone. They hunting another preacher. So why give yourself to pleasing others when it is, if you do attain it with one, you've not attained it with others, and that one you've attained it with, it could be gone on your next phone conversation, your next trip to church, your next social outing, it could be gone. Here's you another one. Talking about pleasing others, here's you another one. Pleasing God is to be our business and our chief objective in this world. Because if we please Him, it does not matter though men, good men, or all men are never pleased with us. As long as we're pleasing to God, He will please us. God will put pleasure in your heart if you please Him. Amen. And that brought us to our third one that we was going to deal with, and that's pleasing God. Several verses deals with it. Several verses deals with pleasing God. Amen. I may wait and deal with that one tonight, if the Lord leads me to. If not, we'll come back to it another time. That's the important one. That's the important one. If we get that one, we won't have to worry about the self-pleasing or the others pleasing. They'll fall in line. They'll take care of themselves. If a husband and wife lives to please God, everything will work out in the home. If children and parents both are working to please God, everything's going to work out in the home. If the church membership, the pews and the pulpit both alike are living to please God, everything's going to work out. Amen. Problems come in all of those areas when somebody starts saying, I want this and I want that. Huh? God help us. Amen. So we may deal with that and we may not. But you let the Lord speak to your heart about that, about pleasing God. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.